Good morning. We're going to be in Hosea. We'll start in chapter 5, and we'll pick up the last verse there, and then we'll carry on into the chapter 6. This morning, there's three movements, if you will, between God and Israel, and God speaking through Hosea to Israel. This morning, we'll finish up the first movement, this first aspect of the lawsuit, if you will, and then in the weeks to come, we'll deal with the second accusation and the third accusation and see how God deals with that. We've been talking about the fact that God speaks through Hosea, and he directly deals with the leadership, and he talks to not only the priest, the spiritual leaders, but he also deals with the political leaders as well, because they have done a couple of things. The priests have led the people astray when it comes to knowing God. They've not taught the people of God about God. They've not led them in proper worship. Ignorance of God leads to ignorance of proper worship. How do you worship a God you don't know? They've participated in idol worship with the people, and then the political leaders have also decided to do things their way. They've trusted in treaties, they've trusted in their own military power, and not going to God and seeking Him. And so the first accusation, the first issue in the lawsuit is a lack of knowing God. And so we've been talking about that. We need to know God. And the way we know God is to know His Word. I was talking this morning in Sunday school that I saw remember if it was a meme or an article, satirical article, that they have this man, his head is bowed, his hands are clenched as in prayer, and his Bible is next to him, and it says that man pleads with God to know him with his Bible 3 feet away, and just not opening it. And we wait for this new revelation, God to come and write on the wall, to give us something new, when God has given us who He is in His Word, and we just neglect to read it, and we neglect to apply it. We neglect to know Him, and it's there for us. And so, today, we're going to wrap up, like I said, this first issue. God has given if you think about it as a courtroom scene, God is the plaintiff. He's given the issues. He said the people that know Him, He gives the verdict that if you don't know Him, then He will destroy them. It says He will tear them from limb to limb. He uses this imagery of a lion devouring its prey and carrying it off in chapter 5. And we'll pick up with that, and we'll move in to the next aspect of the lawsuit, or the last aspect, which is a hope of restoration. God, time and time again, warns the people. He tells them, you need to know me. Stop worshiping idols. Stop worshiping idols. When you stop worshiping idols and know God, you will worship Him properly. You will give Him His due. And time again, the people are led astray. They go astray. They worship all these idols. And God says, come back. Come back. And they go their own way. And God brings punishment. God brings destruction. But He leaves this promise that if you will turn, I will restore the relationship. And we've learned over the past few weeks that God is serious about knowing Him and about worshiping Him. But if for those of us who have gone astray, those of us who have maybe gone off the wheels, God says there's hope. There's hope of restoration. So I want to read for us, again, we'll catch the last verse of chapter 5, and we'll move into chapter 6, the first 6 verses. He says this, I will depart and return to my place, this is God speaking, until they recognize their guilt and seek my face. They will search for me in their distress. So God is saying, look, I'm gone. Until you recognize that you need me, until you recognize you need to seek me, I'm going to leave you to your own way. He goes on and says, come, let us return to the Lord. For he has torn us, and he will heal us. He has wounded us, and he will bind up our wounds. He will revive us after 2 days, and on the third day, he will raise us up so we can live in his presence. Let us strive to know the Lord. His appearance is as sure as the dawn. He will come to us like the rain, like the spring showers that water the land. And God picks up and he says, what am I going to do with you, Ephraim? What am I going to do with you, Judah? Your loyalty is like the morning mist and like the early dew that vanishes. This is why I have used the prophets to cut them down. I have killed them with the words of my mouth. My judgment strikes like lightning, for I desire loyalty and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. There's two things I want us to grab hold today. They're quite simple. They're a major theme that we find in the text. And the first thing is this, you need to seek to know God. God says, if you want me not to destroy you, not to leave you to your own demise, not to take myself away from you, seek me. The New Testament has this idea, says if you seek me, you will find me. So verse 15 is this transition from the punishment, from the verdict, I'm gone. But he says, but if you seek me, you can find me. I will leave you to your own demise. I will leave you to your own ways. But if you seek me, there's hope. So Israel is not going to be saved by God. He's not going to rescue them. They have to accept their circumstances. They have to accept responsibility for the sin that they have done and realize that God is their only hope. Oftentimes, this is where people finally turn to God. When everything has gone wrong, when they are in the midst of the consequences of their sin and they have to accept responsibility for what they've done, they say, maybe I should think about God. And while God will answer them and while God will take them back, why do we wait so long? What are we waiting for? We give ourselves all this trouble. We go through all this hardship when all we had to do was seek God. We go through all of these circumstances. We go through all of these consequences when if we would have just sought God and sought to know him and obey him and follow him, we would not have these terrible consequences in our lives. And God says, no longer will you confuse me with Baal. No longer will you worship at Baal and say, well, I'm worshiping God too. You've got to seek me. You got to seek him alone. So God says, this is going to be a hard time. This is going to hurt, and it will last as long as it has to, and it will last as long as you decide to come back to me. This is a picture of God that we often don't see. It's a hard picture for us to see. We talk about God's love. We talk about God's forgiveness, which are attributes of God. He does love us. He does forgive us. But make no mistake, God will not be mocked. God is not a genie in a bottle that we rub when we want something or need something. God is God, and he needs to be feared. He needs to be loved. He needs to be respected, and he needs to be the only one that we seek. So Israel's going to suffer. They're going to suffer as long as they refuse to seek God. But God says, when you come back, I'll take you back. When you return to me, I will wholeheartedly take you back into relationship. In verses 1 through 3 of chapter 6 is hard to differentiate, but it's not God speaking there, it's Hosea. And it's Hosea offering up a prayer and kind of saying, hey, Israel, hey, guys, if we do this, God will forgive us. And there's this intercessory prayer kind of in the hopes that Israel would follow suit. And we don't know how many actually follow him. We don't know how many actually seek God. We do know this. Most of the nation does not. Most of the nation does not seek God. Most of the nation does not seek after him or find him. They will continue to worship Baal. They continue to depend on their own military might and their own military alliances instead of God alone. And within a few years, Israel's gone. God is not joking. God is not playing. But know this, God says, if you seek me, you'll find me. He will forgive. And Hosea says, look, it's as certain as the sun rises, certain as the dawn, the sun comes up every day. That's how much we can trust God's forgiveness. So this is what I want us to grab. I want us to know that God wants us to seek him. God wants us to know him. That has been the major theme over the last few weeks. I hope you caught that. But also know this. God desires revival. God wants revival. God wants people to come back to him. God wants people to love him and to serve him and to seek him. God wants the little brother who runs away in the story of the prodigal son. He wants him to come to his senses and return to the Father. God desires revival. We've compartmentalized revival, and we've made it a program, and we think that it's a service where people are brought in and there's certain preaching a certain way, and there that has its place. I'm not talking bad about that. But understand this. When I say revival, I mean God's people coming back to him. And that's what God's talking about here. He's talking about the nation of Israel needs revival. But the story does not end well because they will not seek him. The church in America today is declining. There's people, less and less people are considering themselves Christian, less and less people are being transformed by the gospel, less and less people are hearing the gospel. And God says, I want revival. Will we pray for that? Will we start with it in our own life? The sad thing is, most people who need revival sit in the pews week after week after week, and they think that they're good. They don't have anything to deal with. They don't have any sin to confess. They don't have anything to get right with God. I'm here every Sunday. I'm good. And God says, you don't really know me because you haven't really sought me. So there's a chance. There's hope. Israel, if you return to me, I will wholeheartedly bring you back into covenant. So we must seek to know God, and here's the reason why. Because God desires for you to know him. We need to seek God, but he wants us to know him. God is such a wonderful person, wonderful being, that he wants to share who he is with you. It's like when we start a new relationship, we want to know about that person, whether it's a romantic relationship and you hope to one day marry this person, or if it's just a friendship, you want to know about the person. And you share who you are, you share your life with them. And God says, if you really just want to get to know me, you will see how much I love you, how much I care for you, how much my plans are the best for you, how much I've done for you. So not only should we seek to know God, but God wants us to know him. Israel's response, or rather God's response, begins with a lament, which in a lament is when you are lamenting something, is when you're crying about something, or when you are downcast, or you are hurt by a situation. And God is saying, look, guys, you are inconsistent. You're unfaithful. You don't want to know me. You've conflated me with this false God. That's not who I am. And your faithfulness to me is like the morning mist. Once the sun comes up, it's gone. It's like the dew on the ground early in the morning. The grass is wet, but within no time, the grass is dry because the sun dries it up. He says, you guys, you've been like the dew. You've been like the morning mist. You are not faithful. And God laments that because he has to discipline them. It's not like God's excited that he gets to do what he has to do to Israel. He has to do it. How many parents are excited they get to discipline their child? Now, as parents, we want a disciplined child, but we don't get all excited when it's time to discipline them. We don't have joy, unless we're sadistic, we don't find joy in punishing or disciplining our children. But we know it must happen so that they are disciplined. And they live a certain way and act a certain way. And the same thing is with God and us. God says, I love you, but you've got to be disciplined. So Paul writes in the New Testament, read it earlier, don't put away, go ahead and put away youthful passions and seek to have faith, seek to have love, seek to be gentle, seek to be righteous. How do you get that way? You get disciplined. You discipline your body. You discipline yourself. You discipline your mind. And God says, I don't want to do this. I love you. I don't want to punish you. But you refuse to respond appropriately. And if God will do that to a nation of his people, know that God will allow you to go off and end up in the consequences of your own sin. He's warned them. He's entreated them to wake up. He says, if you will just come back and repent, I'll forgive you. What else can God do? We are so inconsistent in our own walks, just like Israel is. They They say they're going to worship God and they worship Baal. They say they're going to depend on God, yet they go to their military alliances. So God has sent prophets and they've not listened. They may correct an action here or there, but they still are quickly led astray. So Hosea says, God is going to punish you. Your worship does not satisfy God. You must learn to fear Him, to love Him, to serve Him, to obey Him, to worship Him alone. And I wonder, how would we stack up to this? It's God, the person we love only, that we worship only. Yeah, we may not go to a building and say we worship or sing songs to a being other than God. But we live our life in a way that gives other things priority. Too many of us put being with God on the back burner. We don't make it a priority. Look around you. We've not made God a priority. Which leads to the last idea, that first, that God desires revival. But here's the last bit of truth, is that oftentimes the revival comes when we want revival too. Yeah, God is the one who calls us to revival. God is the one who works on us spiritually. But at some point, we've got to say, God, I'm going to follow you. At some point, we've got to say no to our own passions and no to our own desires and no to our own things that we may like or dislike and follow after God. We have to choose revival too. So I wonder, how many of us really want revival? How many of us are really going to be honest and repent from our sin? Be honest with ourselves, be honest with others. Confess to one another. Repent to one another. Seek God alone. God says there's hope. But until you seek me, I'm going to leave you to your own means. And some of you have experienced that. That you have done your thing and you have had to deal with it. But you know the truth that if you come back to God, He loves you and will take you back. So God desires revival. God desires His people to come to Him. But at some point, we've got to, like the kid, the prodigal son, we've got to come to our senses. We've got to go back. Is it time for you to come back? Is it time for you to return to the Father? Is it time for you to return to God? Don't wait any longer. So as they play, will you stand? If God is calling you to Him, will you come? Will others in here pray that God's desire for revival would happen? That we would want revival too? That we would choose to obey God and that we would choose to give up our place in our life and to follow Him, to make Him number one? We will choose to get the sin out of our life so that he can be number one. Father God, I admit that we need revival. God, I pray that you would lay on our heart every day to pray for revival. And that we know that you bring the spiritual aspect, that you draw us, that you call us. God, I pray that we would be obedient. That we would choose to follow. That would truly be revival in our hearts and in our church and in our city. We would no longer go around not knowing you. No longer living through the consequences of our own sin, but seeking to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.